You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.
Heather Rabatz is the first woman director of the Football Association and is on the Power List. Welcome to the programme, Heather. Round of applause for everybody. Do you consider yourself powerful? Do you wake up in the morning and think, oh, me, powerful?
Yes.
No. Okay.
I don't often feel that when I wake up in the morning. I just sort of think I've got to get to 10 different places in the course of my day, and how am I going to manage it all? And usually one of my sons has rung me and wants a piece of advice. So as ever, women, I think, are always juggling, and I think we probably see ourselves more through that multifaceted lens.
Your career has been fascinating on any number of levels, but basically because of the amount of time you've dedicated to what we might call all-male environments, we might have thought of. Well, Millwall Football Club, for a start, Governor of the Bank of England, and the BBC, and the London School of Economics. Which was the worst environment you worked in, just out of interest?
I think it would not be fair for me to single any one place out. I suppose for me what I've always been attracted to is where you can make a difference. So a long time ago when I was chief exec of the worst run local authority in the country.
It was Lambeth, which was
a thrilling time to running.
But it was thrilling, wasn't it?
It was thrilling. And you know, as ever, no place is unrelentingly bad. There are always fantastic people. There are fantastic people who, you know, worked at Millwall Football Club, who were at Lambeth, you know, at times at the BBC or in my times at media. There are, you know, some incredibly talented people. There are also some people who have views about whether there are issues about race or gender that are absolutely unacceptable. And I suppose, for whatever weird reason, and I think it might have been linked to my mum, going back to Nicola's comments earlier, which was, I did very badly at school and went to state school and left at 16 and had a pretty difficult time. But my mum was an absolute passionate believer, which is anything you want to do, you can do. And I suppose I believe that if you go in and you work with people, you can make a difference and you can turn things around. And that's what I've been attracted to. The FA might be a step too far, but
well, I don't know.
We wait to see.
A lot of listeners did nominate their mum or their grandmother for the palace, and it was decided that we wouldn't include them. Your mum, I know, having read about you, is hugely, hugely influential. She has some great sayings. What was the one about you always need your own...
You always need your own knicker money.
How true that is.
It's very true, yeah. So she was... So my mother was Jamaican and my father was English, and she had a tough time, really, for most of her life in this country. And I think what she was always trying to do for me, you know, having been subject to abuse and bullying at school, was to make me believe in myself. Yes, you would often come out with these little sayings. I try and come out with them now to the rest of my family, and they breathe a deep sigh.
But were you ever made to feel, or did you ever feel, an imposter in any of those environments you worked in?
I think it's very hard for us as women to feel totally comfortable in those environments. I think, yes, there would be moments you think, I'm going to get found out in a minute.
Do you think men feel like that too? I'm sure they do.
I'm not so sure.
Don't you?
I'm really not so sure. I can remember recruiting a football manager and getting lots of applications with somebody who ran Accrington Stanley who'd taken them to the European Championship. And I thought, that can't be right. And it transpired that he played PlayStation all day at home on Football Manager, but felt totally confident that he could apply for a job. And actually, it doesn't just happen in football. I mean, I sit in the world of banking and all sorts of places. And most women say, "Well, I'm not sure I could do that. I wasn't really me. I had this whole team of people." Where, you know, the guy who brought in the odd cup of coffee and the sandwiches said, "Yeah, no, I can run that organisation. That's fine." So I think we have a very different view about ourselves as opposed to men.
Are you a good delegator?
Yes, I think I am.
And is that a huge advantage?
I think it absolutely. And I think it's about not only delegation, but how you support people. If you want people to take risks and it goes wrong, what you don't do is then come crashing down on top of them. So it is about...
We've got a lot of BBC management in today. Could you repeat that?
Happy to. And I think it's about, you know, I always... I'll give you another saying.
Go on.
Which is one of mine. Which is you try and put in the floors through which people don't fall through, but not their ceilings. And whether that's what you do in your personal life, in your professional life, how I try and support women, or indeed in terms of dealing with issues around race in still in organisations where we have very few black people and very few black women.
Well, I was going to ask you about, I mean, the 7% black or ethnic minority, it isn't that surprising, is it? It is disappointing.
No, it's not surprising. It is hugely disappointing, given, you know, the work that many of us, and I look to my colleague Una across the table here, that have been doing in this area over a number of years. It reflects some of the challenges we have out there. And that's what the list does, actually. The list, you know, is on one level a great testimony to progress. It's also a testimony to how far we have to go. And I think the issue of the race and the lack of representation is reflective of what is happening across the piece outside of this studio.
Have you ever been in a position where you're faced with candidates for a job, one of whom may be, let's say, an ethnic minority woman, who's all right, potentially, and a white man who perhaps might be better at the job? And if you have, what would you do?
I think what I've tried to do is, well, first of all, I think what's quite interesting is that when you're interviewing particularly candidates with different experiences, how you value that difference. So it looks sometimes on paper that the white guy's got all the sort of ticks, but actually, if you probe in a different way, you might well find that your black woman candidate actually has strengths in other areas. So wherever
I can... You'd be tempted to give her the job.
Wherever I can, I have done so. And then I think, you know, if you don't give people the break, if you don't give them the break, then they're not going to make it. It's then if you do that, if you think there are areas that they need to sort of learn more about, how, you know, that they're supported. But it's often that they are, if not as talented, more talented than some of the other people. It's just viewed differently often by interview panels.
All right, we're going to end with casting aside all modesty, all female modesty. What's your next big job going to be?
Sadly, I won't be coming to the BBC, I don't think, but I love the BBC. Do you know, I work in media and film, and so I think I'm going to try and do something a bit creative.
You've got something in the pipeline, haven't
you? I have. I'll come back and tell you more in a
second. Singularly failed to wheedle that one out of you, but thank you. Heather Rabat, thank you very much.
You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.